Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
And that's really where I want to start with my testimony. My parents are in the chat right now. I had an amazing upbringing, raised in a Christian home, and had everything going for me. My parents were incredible, never saw them cuss, never saw them drink, never had any abuse, got what we wanted. I was homeschooled my whole life. I had literally the golden childhood, no trauma, no abuse in my upbringing. But I did not have, this not has no fault of my parents, I did not have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, though I was raised in church. Many of you are raised in church, but you've never encountered the Holy Spirit. You grew up in the church, but never had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. That was my story. And then finally, after years of not going, my sister begged me, and at 19, my whole testimony, my entire life's message, and my entire life change, listen very closely tonight, was the moment I encountered the Holy Spirit. That was what changed everything. Tonight, many of you are in the broadcast. You've heard about God. You've been taught about God. You were homeschooled like me. You were raised in church. But the missing element is a person, and his name is Holy Spirit. And I'm going to break that down more as we go. That's what this is all about. So the Holy Spirit changes everything. I'm believing for some of you tonight that have never encountered the Holy Spirit, you're going to get filled tonight. You're going to be born again tonight. The power of the Holy Spirit. This is the reality of God on the earth in our lives. When we lose the Holy Spirit, when we don't have the Holy Spirit, we don't preach about Him, we don't experience Him, all you're left with is dull, dead Christianity. Religion is what you're left with when you remove the Holy Spirit from Christianity. And that is, guys, so many of you say, my church is dead. I'm going to tell you why. There's no Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't there. And the reason why He's not there is because He's not celebrated. He's tolerated. And the Holy Spirit won't dwell with people that tolerate Him. He'll only dwell with people that celebrate Him. We need Him back in the church. We need Him back in our lives. Holy Spirit, we need You. Somebody needs to pray that right now. Say that right now. Holy Spirit, I need You in my life. I can't go on without You. My relationship with God is through the person, I'm going to keep saying the word person, of the Holy Spirit. That's the change. So let's just theologically set the groundwork here. Many of you think of like, oh, Jesus is in me, all that. I'm going to explain all of that, okay? Theologically, according to the scripture, this is the way it works. The Father is seated on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, forever making intercession for us. Jesus is praying for you. If you didn't know that, that's amazing. Like, I want Isaiah to pray for me. Well, guess what? Jesus is praying for you, even better. Okay, so now the Father's on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is on the earth. This is God working in us, through us, on the earth, through the person of the Holy Spirit. All three, God, equally God, but three separate persons. Okay, that is why when the disciples go, Jesus, please don't leave. We love You, Jesus. We've given everything for You. He said this, it's better, and I'll give you all the verses in a minute here. It's better that I leave. Jesus goes, it's actually better for You that I leave. And that sounds so crazy to the disciples. Like, what do you mean it's better that you leave? He said, here's why. So that I can send the Holy Spirit. If I don't leave, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit won't come. So when Jesus ascended, then the Holy Spirit descended. In the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would dwell on people. In the New Covenant, the New Testament, the Holy Spirit dwells in people. That was the difference. Now, another framework I want to lay is the Holy Spirit is a person. Get out of your mind that the Holy Spirit isn't it. I know a lot of us have the image that we're in service and tongues, miracles, deliverances, signs and wonders, and the Holy Spirit's like a blue flame that's like woo, hovering around the room. That is not how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. He has a will. He has a personality. And just like any other person, He can be offended. There are some of you tonight, the Holy Spirit is not striving with you or walking with you because you've offended Him. You've grieved Him. You've quenched Him. I'm going to show you how that works in the scripture. Most people don't realize that. They've offended the Holy Ghost. They've made the Holy Spirit mad, grieved Him, quenched Him. And so He's not striving, walking alongside of them any longer. And that's what we're going to talk about as well. So you have to know that. John 15, 26, lots of scripture tonight. This is Jesus speaking. But when the helper comes, notice this is helper, not doer. He helps you. He doesn't do it for you. When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. So the Holy Spirit's with the Father, and Jesus says, I'm going to send the Helper from the Father. And then he says, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he, that's H-E, will testify of me. Jesus didn't say it will testify of me. Jesus said he, as in he's a person. He will testify of me. He's the most important person in the universe, in the world, and should be the most important person in your life. There should be right now. I want you to take inventory in your life. Please share and like this video. Facebook, share it. YouTube, share it. Whatever. Text a friend or family. He should be, if you are a believer, the most important person of your life. He should be the center of your attention. The Holy Spirit should be more important than your wife. Amen. The Holy Spirit should be more important than your children. The Holy Spirit should be more important than your boss. The Holy Spirit has to be the number one thing in our life, and we have to start acknowledging him and stop ignoring him. So many of us ignore the Holy Spirit. And here's what I also want to show you. His name is actually holy. That's his first name and his last name, okay? So when you say Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, the word ghost or spirit are not names. They are definitions of something. So ghost means spirit. So you can say Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. But all it's doing is defining what he is and who he is. He is a spirit. So he's not physical in the natural realm. Jesus came physically, right? Jesus is in heaven right now. The Holy Spirit, his name is holy and he is a spirit. So holy, and then it defines it by saying he's a spirit. But his name is holy. So if his name is holy, right? We always think it's like, its name's Holy Spirit. No, his name's holy. If his name is holy, we as his followers need to be holy as well. We are called to be holy. That is why David said, when he sinned with Bathsheba, Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David recognized that the Holy Spirit is holy. So we have to strive for holiness. Righteousness is all about what Christ did on the cross. So now we are in right standing. That's what righteousness means. It means we're in good standings. We're in right standing. Holiness means to be set apart, be separate, be different. And that's something the Bible says that you are called to do. Here is what the Bible says. Be holy as Christ is holy. It doesn't say you are holy because Christ is holy. Having Christ doesn't necessarily make you holy in and of itself. It makes you righteous. But you have to make the choice that I'm choosing holiness today. I'm choosing holiness today. I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm not going to act like everybody else. I'm not going to walk like everybody else. I'm abstaining from the things of this world because God has called me to be set apart. Come on, chat. Where are you at tonight? God has called me to be set apart. I'm separate. I'm consecrated. That's why the Bible says God would say, separate the disciples unto me. It's not just me. It's not just God, you know, this and that. So it's the Lord saying, separate yourself, consecrate yourself. That's the Holy Spirit. He's the game changer. Some of you have been in church your whole life, never heard of him. Acts 19, verse 1, Paul travels through the interior regions until he reaches Ephesus, okay? He comes to Ephesus, the Bible says, where he found several believers. And then he says this, and this is the question I want to ask some of you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. This is their response, Acts 19. No. We haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. That's so many of us in the church. We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. We don't even know the Holy Spirit. Some of us, and thank God that he's given us this message tonight, we have no relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're like, Jesus, thank you. You saved me. Thank you, Father, for sending your son. And it's like, holy who? Who's the Holy Spirit? I don't even know who that is. I have no relationship with him. We have like nowadays, instead of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Scriptures. And now we worship the scripture rather than worship the author of the scripture. And we've replaced the Holy Bible with we've replaced the Holy Spirit with the Holy Bible. And we got to get connected back to the Holy Spirit. We got to get to know the Holy Spirit once again. We have to start treating him like a person, waking up in the morning. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I love you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, will you come with me to the store? Holy Spirit, will you go with me to college? Holy Spirit, will you go with me to my family reunion? Holy Spirit, will you go with me to this trip that I'm going on? Will you go with me in the airplane? Inviting him into our lives. Many of us never experience God moving because we've never invited him in. Jesus would show up places because they invited him. And we expect Jesus to just plow down the door of our life and force himself in. When he's not going to do that, he wants to be invited. No one likes going anywhere without being invited. I don't want to show up to a party that I'm not invited to. I don't want to go to a birthday party. Imagine your family doesn't invite you. You're not going to want to go to a birthday party if your family didn't invite you, because you're going to go feeling unwanted. Are you guys tracking? You're going to go feeling unneeded. You want someone to invite you. You want someone to say, I want you there. Do you want the Holy Spirit there in your life? Do you want the Holy Spirit there at work with you? Some of us don't, because we act a certain way. We don't want the Holy Spirit getting in the way of how we want to live. This is why we've grieved the Holy Spirit. We need to get back to experiencing. So then Paul says this. They say, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Never even heard about it. Then what baptism did you experience? And they said, the baptism of John. Paul said this in Acts 19, verse 4. John's baptism called from the repentance of sin, but John said to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. At verse 5, as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other tongues, and they prophesied. There were 12 men in all. These men were believers according to Scripture, but they never heard of the Holy Spirit. And many people today have never heard about the Holy Spirit. That's why this is so important that we talk about this. Maybe you have a relationship with him. This can help you have a better relationship with him. How many of you know you can have a good relationship, then you can have a better relationship? Everybody in here has a specific relationship with their spouse, some good, some not good. It matters in what standing you are with people around you. Sometimes you have a really good relationship with your friend or family. Sometimes you don't. Okay. Of all the relationships that matter, this is the one that matters the most. It matters the most that you have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the submersion I'll talk about later of the Holy Spirit, is one of the most incredible, life-changing, eternity-altering, significant moments you will ever have in your life. It is at that moment when the Holy Spirit comes into you that you are a new person. It's very, very possible to live your life in church, pray the sinner's prayer every week, and never have the baptism, never have that encounter where the Holy Spirit came and changed you, where you have that born-again experience. The Holy Spirit's alive and well. He's moving, and sadly, he's been left out of most churches. Most pastors don't understand him. And let's just be honest, because I don't ever sugarcoat anything. I don't even know how to sugarcoat anything. I'm out of sugar. If you told me, like, can you just sugarcoat this? I don't even know how to do that. I don't know how to beat around the bush. I don't even know where the bush is at to beat around. People are like, don't beat around the bush. I'm like, what bush? I just jump right through it. I have no clue. So if you're looking for a sugar-coated sermon, these are not the streams for you. I just tell it how it is. I think that's why people like me, and I think that's why people hate me. Here's the bottom line. The Holy Spirit is not in a lot of churches because we don't like him. The reason why we don't like him is because when he comes, everything changes. He moves around the agenda. When he comes, sick people get healed. When he comes, demons get driven out. When he comes, repentance breaks out. Prayer breaks out. And I've noticed this about him. He removes the agenda. He removes our schedule. Pastor's like, we want the Holy Spirit. And then we do 5-minute altar calls. We want the Holy Spirit. And then we look at our schedule in church and there's no room for him. This is the bottom line. For a lot of us tonight, a lot of people watching the replay, there is no room for the Holy Spirit in our lives. And there is no room for the Holy Spirit in our churches. Make room for the Holy Spirit. Make room for God. Clear out your schedule and say, Lord, I want you. Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do in my church. Do whatever you want to do in my marriage. Do whatever you want to do. If you tell me to have a prayer meeting, we're going to have a prayer meeting. If you tell me to go pray for somebody, we're going to pray for somebody. We're led by the Holy Spirit. That's the thing that's leading us. That's the thing that Jesus left us with. It's incredible. But he's not welcomed in our lives in church. He's not celebrated. He's not invited. And when he comes, we don't allow him to move the way he wants to move. The Holy Spirit is the forgotten God in the church today. We go, I love Jesus. He redeemed me. I love the Father because he sent Jesus. But we leave the Holy Spirit out of the redemption story. But we have to get to a place where we go, Holy Spirit, I love you. I want you to do this every single day. I don't care if you need to put it on your calendar. Write on your calendar, acknowledge the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. How do we go weeks without doing this? How do we go days without doing this? Well, because maybe we didn't know, but now we know. Another thing is it possible that we're grieving the Holy Spirit and not even realizing it? He has emotions, he has feelings. Look what the Bible says about quenching the Spirit. I'm gonna talk about quenching then grieving. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies. One of the ways we quench the Holy Spirit is by not allowing prophecies, but more specifically is when we don't allow him to do what he wants to do. If the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, go somewhere, say something, be something, and I don't do it, I deny him access, I am in turn quenching him. I'm throwing water on the fire. So for example, the Holy Spirit says, go pray for that person. And I don't do that, I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, do this, and I don't do it, I'm quenching the Holy Spirit. And the more you quench him, the more he'll, the farther away you'll get from him, and he'll no longer walk with you or strive with you, and it'll be harder and harder to feel his conviction, harder and harder to hear his voice, harder and harder to see his presence and his power in your life, and slowly but surely, you will no longer be convicted of your sin. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's going to come and convict the world of sin and of righteousness. And I'm going to say a scary statement. When, and this stream is not going to be about losing the Holy Spirit, I have other streams you can look up about that. When you lose your conviction, it's a telltale sign you've lost the Holy Spirit. When you're no longer moved by your sin, when that sin no longer hurts you or wounds you, you have lost the Holy Spirit in your life. And the Holy Spirit has drawn away from you. And really, he's drawn away from you, but the better term is you've drawn away from him. Sin separates us from God. Remember, Jesus at the right hand of the Father on the throne, the Holy Spirit in me. The Holy Spirit's who we're dealing with here. Jesus lives in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you this in scripture later. When we don't allow miracles to happen, when we don't allow deliverance to happen, when we don't let him work in our churches. Guys, we have made God in our image rather than serving the God who made us in his image. Pastor's like, I want a move of God, but don't let the move of God go more than 5 minutes. Imagine this. We tell God we want revival, but you can only do it Sunday morning for an hour and a half. 168 hours during the week. And you tell God, Lord, I want you in my life as long as it fits into 1% of my week. Actually, an hour and a half, I'm not that good at math, but it's less than 1%. I got this revelation years ago when I was thinking about the fact that most of us only serve and worship God for an hour and a half. And then I thought, wait a minute, an hour and a half is less than 1% of our week. And that's the only time we pray, the only time we worship, the only time we live for God and even talk to God. We're giving God less than 1% of our week, claiming to be disciples. Friends, we are deceived if that's our lifestyle. If this is a once a week little babysitters, tickle me Elmo type of Christianity, we are not Christians. We are deceived. This is about every day, walking in this, living in this, and picking up our cross and walking with the person of the Holy Spirit. We cannot tell the Holy Spirit how to move. Quenching him speaks to corporate gatherings. It's putting out the fire. Okay, so that's quenching. That's corporate. That's in the church. That's not allowing him to move. Grieving him is something different. Grieving relates to our personal lives. And the word grieving, it means to make him sorrowful, sad, or cause him to suffer great grief. Now, I don't want to grieve my wife. I don't want to make my wife sorrowful, sad, or suffer grief, or any person that I love. So why am I, I'm going to show you how we're doing this, every single day doing this to the Holy Spirit? Like, think about this. If there's anybody that I don't want to be on their bad side, if there's one person that I don't want to break their heart, I don't want to make them sad, and I don't want to grieve, it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one. If you lose a family member, you go through heartbreak, you lose a job, anybody ever grieved before? Where you're crying, you're heartbroken, you're sad, you're sick to your stomach, you can't eat. You're just like, I'm grieved. I lost a family member. I got broken up with, whatever. We've all grieved before. Amen. Anybody know about grieving? Okay. When you do the things I'm about to tell you, the Bible teaches, that's what happens to the Holy Spirit. You literally break the heart of God. And remember, when I say God, I mean the Holy Spirit. You break his heart when you do these things. Now, let me show you what these things are. Somebody like, will you tell me what they are? Yeah, I would love to, because I don't want you to keep doing these things. We need to be careful we're not hurting the Holy Spirit. We need to think about our actions and realize our actions have consequences. They're affecting someone. They're affecting the Holy Spirit. It's not just your wife that you're affecting. You're affecting the Holy Spirit when you do these actions, when you live a certain way. What is that way? The Bible makes it clear. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to be extremely convicting for a lot of you. Because a lot of us are doing all of these things, including pastors. I'm going to show you that here in a moment, okay? This is found in Ephesians 4:29 through 32. You might as well just highlight You might as well just underline. You might as well save this on your phone. You might as well put your little paper Bible, you know, put the little highlight, what is it called? The book note, whatever book. What do you got? What are they called? I don't even know. Bookmark. Yeah. Remember those things? Those are like back in the 90s. Put your bookmark there. Whatever you got. Highlight it 9 different colors. This is Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. Write this down. Look at this. Oh, man. Oh, I feel the conviction. I'm starting to sweat already. Don't use foul or abusive language. We can just stop right there. For all of you cussing saints in the chat, you grieve the Holy Spirit when you do this. It blows my mind when pastors are like, God doesn't care about cussing. Okay. Keep saying that. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Look at this. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit by the way that you live. How clear is that? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by the way that you live. And then it tells us what grieves him. Get rid of all bitterness. Bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, now this is what we're supposed to be if we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Some of you are like, now I know why the Holy Spirit never speaks to me. Now I know why he's so distant. But instead, do this. Be kind to each other. Be tenderhearted. Forgive one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So here's what it's saying. Don't grieve him by the way that you live. And this shows us certain actions we can do to make the Holy Spirit sad. And remember, grieving him is different than quenching. Grieving relates to personal life. So what are some of the things that grieve the Holy Spirit? Number one, write this down, foul or abusive language. Foul or abusive language. Foul means something that is rotten. That's like profanity, dirty jokes, okay? And it might not be a big deal to you. I get it. It's a big deal to the Holy Spirit. Don't get mad at me that I'm telling you this. This is God's way. We can't choose how we want to make things up and say, God doesn't mind cursing. God doesn't mind dirty talk. There's like one super popular Christian podcast. I won't mention the name because I just don't want my channel to be like that about that. Where the pastor used to cuss. He doesn't cuss anymore because he got called out so many times. So he stopped cussing. But he's always talking dirty about sexual things. And it's just wrong. It's foul, right? It's just rotten. It's profanity. And these are Christians here. It grieves the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Ghost like that, when you hear these things, you should kind of be, oh. You ever felt that? Like, oh, I don't like hearing that. Oh, it feels kind of gross. That's that grieving of the Holy Spirit. It should kind of like make your stomach turn a little bit. That's the Holy Spirit. That cringe in you. Some people call it like an ick. Like, oh, that gives me an ick. That's the Holy Spirit when it has to do with, or you say something, you gossip about somebody and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. That feeling you have is grieving the Holy Spirit. If you don't have that feeling, at the end of the broadcast, we're going to pray that you'd get the Holy Spirit. We need that conviction. We need that feeling. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Abusive language. This is abusing people with our words. Saying things, some of you aren't going to handle this, okay? This is going to be a low-viewed stream because some of you just aren't going to be able to hang because you're realizing that I'm just calling you out here. I'm not the one doing it. So I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If it's deal with yourself here. Abusive language is abusing people. It's cutting people down. It's saying things to demean people and make people feel less than. That's what abusive language is. Even if you're joking, there's like families that always call their family dumb, stupid. You're an idiot. You're this, but they're joking, right? Well, it's not a big deal. I'm just joking. You call your family overweight. You make fun of each other. That's abusive. Doesn't matter if you're joking. Calling your family dumb, idiot, stupid, fat, this, that, worthless, lazy, overweight, all of these things, you're cutting people down. That's abusive, foul language, and the Holy Spirit hates it. Again, you could justify it all you want. I didn't make up this stuff. I'm not making the rules here. You can't tell. I'm preaching tonight. Am I preaching tonight? You can't tell what the Holy Spirit grieves the Holy Spirit. Like, imagine if you do something and I'm like, that offends me. And you're like, that doesn't offend you. How are you going to tell me what offends me? Right? Or you do something, you're like, you broke my heart. You grieved me. Like, Isaiah, I didn't grieve you. Yes, you did. I'm the one being grieved. So I get to tell you what grieves me. The Holy Spirit's telling us what grieves him. So you can't say, well, I'm still going to do it. You can do it, but just know that you're grieving him. Just know that you're grieving him when you do it. Okay, so ignorance is bliss. Maybe you didn't know. Now you know. Ignorance is bliss is only said by those that are ignorant. Constantly cutting people down is one way. Second way, bitterness. Bitterness is the worst. Hanging out with bitter people, again, I'm just going to have to say, is like the worst, that are always negative, always complaining. This is what kept the children of Israel the promised land. Bitterness. This is defined by, oh man, I'm telling you, I'm calling people out tonight. Constantly being unhappy, constantly being in conflict with people, constantly wanting to fight others and argue with others. Anybody know anyone like that? Arguing with everybody, never goes with the flow, always mad about something. We all have that family member that's at the party. It's like they're always mad about something. Did we order the wrong food? Is the carpet the wrong color? Are people too loud? Did nobody talk to you? They're just always mad. They're always in a bad mood. The Holy Spirit goes like, oh, I don't like that. I don't like being around that. Remember, the Holy Spirit's a person. He wants to hang out with us. I want to be someone, write this down, the Holy Spirit wants to be around. He chooses who he gets to hang out with. He doesn't have to be with you, but he chooses to. So don't grieve him and make him not want to be around you. Don't be that person. The Holy Spirit's like, I don't want to be around that person. Because we all know that person. How many of you know that person that's like, oh, I got to deal with them. They're coming over, right? Maybe it's your wife's friend. Maybe it's your husband's friend. And you're just like, you have to be courtesy hangout. You're like, oh man, I don't really like this person, to be honest. I love everybody, but I don't have to like everybody. And that person just, you guys know what I'm talking about? Maybe you work with him. Like, that's not my family. Okay, maybe you work with him. And you look on the schedule and you're like, oh man, I don't even want to say a name because there's too many people in here. I'm going to end up saying somebody's name. You're like, oh man, I have to work with her. This is going to be the worst shift ever. This is going to be the worst work shift ever. You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay. Don't be that person to the Holy Spirit. Don't make the Holy Spirit look and go like, oh man, I got to be around Isaiah. He always is grieving me. He's always irritating me. That's what I'm talking about. That I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that person to the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to be like, yes, I want to be around Isaiah. I want to be around these people. I want to be with you. That's all. Don't be bitter. Bitterness means you refuse to reconcile. You never say sorry. You never apologize. You never receive apologies. This is grieving. You always have to have the last word. The Holy Spirit can't strive with this. Okay, Hebrews 12:55. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Hebrews 12:15. Don't let bitterness grow in you. Don't let the root of bitterness grow in you, all right? He's a God that forgives and strives with people that forgive. Okay, next one. I'm going to get you. If I haven't got you yet and you're like, oh, those aren't me, praise God. You're going to get got here in a second. And this convicts me. I'm like, okay, Lord, there's areas I need to change. There's things I need to stop saying. I'm telling you, I'm convicted by that. I don't want to grieve him. Rage and anger is number three. These are the things Ephesians tells us. Rage and anger. God says, I hate that. Psalms 37, verse 8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. Anger and wrath only bring forth evil. Psalms 86, 15, but you are merciful and gracious. You're slow to anger and abounding steadfast in love and faithfulness. God is slow to anger. God doesn't blow up. He doesn't get mad fast. How many of you know people that blow up? Rah! They just get, you're like, whoa, bro, you were like chill like 5 seconds ago. Now all of a sudden you're mad. You're mad because I missed one ball in pickleball and you're mad that I hit it into the net. Sorry. And they just go, rah, and they just blow up. That's being fast to anger. You just set them off. Again, you know what's interesting about all these character traits I'm describing? I don't like being around any of these type of people. How much more does the Holy Spirit not want to be around them? I'm kind of like, oh, I'm kind of like the Holy Spirit. I don't like any of these either, right? It's like, I don't want to be around somebody that's always blowing up, always angry, always enraged. And the Holy Spirit says, neither do I. You don't like being around those people? Someone said, my girlfriend. You don't like being around those people? The Holy Spirit doesn't either. God is slow to anger. When we get his personality, we don't get mad super fast, okay? I am very hard to make mad. My wife knows this. My family knows this. Most of my family have probably never even seen me mad. I rarely, and this is, I'm just going to show you this. This is not to boast or brag or any of that. It's extremely hard to get me mad, to get me to blow up. I can't remember the last time I was like genuinely mad at somebody, all right? Doesn't matter what people say, what they do. Somebody can total my car. Somebody can cut me off. Somebody can rob me and I'm just going to be like, oh, whatever. I attribute that to fruit of the Holy Spirit. That is not me. I cannot take credit for that. I just, after getting saved, before I was saved, I was always mad. I was mad at everybody, everything, look at me wrong. I was road rage, everything, okay? After getting saved, I got the fruit of the Holy Spirit and now I'm slow to anger. Not because of me, again, I can't brag about it because I'm not the one like that. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you're fast to get angry and mad, you need to pray. You probably need deliverance, to be honest with you. Really, you probably do. But you need to pray and ask the Lord for help, because it's not God's will for your life, and it's not biblical, and it's not normal. I'm sorry to tell you, if your fuse is short, you need to pray. If your fuse is short, you need to get deliverance. You need to seek the Lord, because it's not the will of God. You should have an extremely long fuse. You know what I mean by that? It's like, I'm slow to anger because I have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's slow to anger. All right, let's keep going here. Ugh, getting hot. I had to turn my fan up here. I'm getting sweaty. Number four, we're almost done with that, and then we'll move into more stuff. Slandering people. Slandering people grieves the Holy Spirit. This is speaking evil behind their back. Proverbs 16:28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and whispers separates close friends. Whisperer separates close friends. When you're whispering, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about so-and-so? No, I didn't hear about it, and I don't want to hear about it. When somebody says, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? No, I didn't hear, and I don't want to hear. Does my forehead say trash can? Okay, then I don't want to hear your trash. Don't gossip to me. Don't tell me about so-and-so's secret sin. Don't tell me about so-and-so fell. Don't gloat and slander other people. My forehead doesn't say trash can. I don't want to hear your gossip. I don't want to hear your drama. Leave it to yourself, okay? You don't need to be the one in the family that's always slandering everybody, gossiping about everybody. Because here's the thing. You got to remember the Holy Spirit hears everything. So you're like, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell anybody. Well, the Holy Spirit's listening. So you're not like telling secrets that he doesn't know. You're just slandering people. And that's also like, hey, pray for so-and-so. They're really struggling with this. That's also called gossip and slander. Just because you're using it as a prayer request doesn't mean God's okay with it. Don't use prayer requests as a method of gossip or slander. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Whoever goes about slandering and revealing secrets, therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. What? Solomon's like, if there's somebody slandering and revealing everybody's secrets, you know what the Bible says? Yeah, don't associate with that person. Don't associate with a simple babbler. Always talking behind someone's back. Here's what I've learned. If someone's always talking bad about someone else to you, they're also talking bad about someone about you. Let me say that again. If somebody's always talking to you and saying bad things about someone else, they're also saying bad things about you to someone else. Okay? You're like, yeah, they talk bad about everybody but me. No. Sorry, honey. They're talking bad about you too. If they're gossiping to you, they're gossiping about you. Preach. Can I get an amen? I wish I was in a building so I could hear some of you shout me down right there. Amen. Some of you are shouting from your living room. All right. One more thing. This stream was not supposed to be all about grieving the Holy Spirit. Maybe we'll do a part two, but it's all necessary. I'm not even going to apologize for going long because this is practical. It's necessary. It's biblical and it's needed. This is going to help you get closer to the Holy Spirit. Number five, malicious behavior. This is plotting evil against people. This grieves the Lord. This is when you want bad things to happen to people. You're malicious about them and you're like, oh, I hope that person does. I hope they get what's coming to them. I'm sorry to tell all of you, and a lot of you pastors and Christians say this, like, oh, the Lord's going to deal with them. They're going to get what they have coming to them. You ought to thank God you didn't get what you had coming to you. You had hell coming to you. We all deserve hell, and the Lord rerouted us. So how dare you wish something bad about somebody else? That's what malicious behavior is. Like, oh, he's going to get his. Why don't you just ask the Lord to forgive them, cleanse them, and wash them? You grieve the Holy Spirit with this personality. You grieve the Holy Spirit when you're doing these things. When you're saying these things, you grieve the Holy Spirit, okay? That leads us into getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're gonna see three major places where the Holy Spirit baptized the disciples. This is filling them with his power, which we're going to pray for tonight. I'm going to talk to you about how to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what happened to me January 12, 2011. That changed everything. It was the moment I got baptized, submerged in the Holy Spirit. He came into my life, changed me. But just write these down for later study. First occurrence is in Acts 2, 1 through 4. This is one of the most famous instances of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was on the day of Pentecost. The disciples were gathered together and the Holy Spirit descended upon them like tongues as a fire. They began to speak in tongues and many people in Jerusalem heard. Okay, that's the first occurrence in the Bible. Well, in the book of Acts, because Jesus did blow the Holy Spirit on the disciples and they received it. But that was a little bit different. But this was in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Then we see in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, Peter's preaching to Cornelius and his house. As Peter's preaching, and I'm praying tonight, Lord, do this. Do this tonight as I'm preaching. As Peter's preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And what happened? They began to speak in tongues and they praised God. This event marked the inclusion of the Gentiles into the Christian community. This was God validating the Gentiles, saying the gospel is not just for the Jews, it's also for you and me, which we are Gentiles. That was the household. Then Acts 19, I just shared about this. Paul encounters the disciples in Ephesus. Look what happens. Lays hands on them. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what happens? They start speaking in tongues. I have a lot of videos on tongues, hours and hours of content. I'll even do more and refresher on tongues. But what you're going to see a lot of times in scripture is when somebody got the Holy Spirit, they also got tongues. So the Holy Spirit was very, very important in that ministry because a lot of times when people got the Holy Spirit, they also got tongues. Now, one of the most important texts in the Bible about the Holy Spirit, write it down, John 14:15. In John 14:15-18, Jesus tells the disciples, if you love me, obey my commandments. And then Jesus says this, and I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper. Jesus is a helper, but look what he goes. He says, the Father's going to give you another helper. He may abide in you forever, may abide with you forever. So Jesus says, I'm not going to be here forever in that sense with you, but the person coming will abide with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, okay? Let me make this clear. Unbelievers cannot receive the Holy Spirit. I've heard it said a lot by friends of mine, they're dead wrong. I'm just going to point out where they're wrong. They'll say things like, oh, that person has a prophetic gift, they just don't know it. You ever heard this before, right? They say that about unbelievers. Oh, that person has a word of knowledge gift, they just don't know it. Oh, that person has a gift of miracles, and these people are not saved, and they say this, they just don't know it. That is false. Nobody that is not a Christian has a prophetic gift. Nobody that is not a Christian has a word of knowledge gift. Nobody that is not a Christian has the gift to do miracles in a godly way. The only people that can do any of these spiritual gifts are people that have the Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. This is why, John 14, look at what it says. Here's why they can't receive him. Because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and, I love the Bible, it's so exciting, and will be in you. So Jesus goes, okay, right now he's dwelling with you, but when I leave, so now this is who he's talking, now it's us, he's going to be in you. So no longer is it the Old Testament where he's like just hovering and dwelling on, like he would empower people in the Old Covenant. Now Jesus goes, he's around right now, but soon he will be in you. So this is his location right now. And then Jesus says this, and I love this. Man, you got to go read John 14 later. And I hope my preaching, my excitement gets you fired up for the Bible. One of the best compliments I ever get was people go, you're so excited about the Bible. I thought it was boring and you're just like excited. I want to be excited about the Bible and I want you guys excited about the Bible. So I hope you can feel my excitement. Then Jesus says this, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is saying that because he's going to leave them and they're going to feel like orphans. So what is he saying? I will come to you. He's saying, I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will take over the discipleship role once I leave. That's why Jesus said he'll teach you all truth. He'll lead you into knowledge. He'll be your teacher. He'll be your helper. Okay. Now he describes him as a helper, an advocate for us, a comforter. The advocate in Latin is the word for lawyer. We all know the role of a lawyer or attorney is as someone that speaks on our behalf and in our defense. So God says the Holy Spirit will be your lawyer. He will be your defense. When the enemy comes in as the accuser of the brethren, that's what the devil is, the Holy Spirit speaks a better word over you. The Holy Spirit is your advocate, okay? Jesus is our advocate in heaven at the right hand of God, according to Romans 8:34, but the Holy Spirit is on earth pleading our cause and helping us. Romans 8:26 describes when we can't pray right, when we're weak and we don't understand, the Holy Spirit prays things that we could never pray. He's our advocate. And this is why I love tongues. I'm a huge proponent on tongues. I pray in tongues every single day. Most of my prayer life is tongues. Religious people and Pharisees don't believe in tongues. They think tongues is demonic and wrong. They're missing out. That's all I have to say. And it's going to be awkward on judgment day for them. But here's my point. Tongues are amazing because when you don't know what to pray, you can pray in the Spirit and the Spirit is going to utter the mysteries of God and pray the perfect prayer. So you might be going through a trial in your life. And if you prayed in English, you'd say, God, I can't believe this happened. God, why did this happen to me? Why are you doing this, right? That's English. When you pray in the Spirit says, oh, I know exactly why you're doing this, Father. I know exactly. You're preparing me. You're training me. You're equipping me. I see 20 years down the road. The Holy Spirit, who knows all, sees all, eternal, knows what to pray. When we pray in unbelief, the Holy Spirit prays the perfect will of God. That's the power of tongues. The Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14, he'll be with us forever. He goes, I'm leaving. You're going to feel heartbroken. You're going to feel left. This Jesus, you're going to feel left like you have no help. But I'm going to send another helper, the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he won't leave you. And this is what Jesus is saying. And don't take this the wrong way. Jesus is saying, the way that I'm leaving you, he's not going to do that. Hey, Jesus had an assignment on earth. Jesus gets killed and says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go be with the Father. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. But in the way you saw me leave you, and the disciples we know were heartbroken. If you've read the Bible, spoiler, they were heartbroken. He goes, the Holy Spirit's not going to leave you like that. He's going to live with you forever. He can live with you, through you, and in you. Because God hides his power in people, the Bible says. John 14, 18, he says, I will not leave you orphans. The implication is that without the Holy Spirit, the disciples would have felt like orphans with no one to take care of them, with no one to help them, and with no one to instruct them. But through the Holy Spirit, full provision has been made. So Jesus goes, without the Holy Spirit, you're going to feel like I have no one to help me, look out for me. I feel abandoned. I feel all those emotions. He goes, but because of the Holy Spirit, he's going to be that person, not it. He is going to be that person. So he's saying, I will, now when he says, I'll come to you in John 14, he's saying this, I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. So Christ returned to his disciples. While he was on earth in his body, Jesus could only be at one place at one time in a physical sense. He could talk to Peter, then John or Mary Magdalene, but he couldn't talk to all three of them at once in different places. Jesus was not omnipresent in a physical sense while he was on the earth, okay? We all agree on that. But, so Jesus limited himself to time and space. But he says, when I come back to you through the Holy Spirit, he's going to be free from the limitation of time and space. This is why tomorrow night, there's going to be plenty of scoffers when I do live. I'm going to do a Zoom live deliverance. I'm going to be casting out demons on Zoom with people, looking them in the face, and God's going to deliver people on Zoom. Well, how could you do that on Zoom? Very easily. The Holy Spirit's not bound by time, space, or location. He's not bound. He can be anywhere at all times, wherever. He could heal somebody across the world. Somebody can call in from India and the Holy Spirit can heal them in India just as if they were next to me in my studio. So he's not bound. He says, I'm going to come back to you through the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to release the Holy Spirit. Now he says something very interesting in John 16, verse 7. He says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I leave you. That's interesting to me. He goes, this is Jesus, John 16, 7. For if I don't go away, so Jesus says, if I don't leave, the helper will not come. But if I do leave, I will send him to you. So the prerequisite for the Holy Spirit coming was Jesus had to go. For whatever reason, God saw it fit that they both weren't going to be at the same time, you know, filling our hearts and filling our lives. So Jesus goes, I'm going to go prepare a place. My Father's already working on that. In my Father's house are many mansions. But John 16, 7, it's actually better for you. Just let me leave. Don't be all like, don't leave, Jesus. Remember when Peter's like, don't go. And Jesus goes, Satan, get behind me. You want me to stay. That's the devil. My plan was not to be here forever and stay. I came to die, make a payment for your sin. I'm going back to heaven with the Father. Okay. But don't stress. Don't panic, Hispanic. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to take care of you. He's going to be there for you. So it's crazy because it's better if I leave. According to Jesus, it's better if Jesus is in heaven and the Holy Spirit's on earth than it would be if Jesus was on earth and the Holy Spirit was in heaven. Do you Christians realize this? Imagine right now, imagine, right? When I say imagine, I mean, this isn't the case, okay? So people are like, I can't believe you said that. I'm saying imagine. Imagine if Jesus was on the earth right now in a physical way and he was, I don't know, where would Jesus be if he was here? He was somewhere. Let's just say he was in Jerusalem. I'm in California and Jesus is in Jerusalem. That's cool, but here's what Jesus is saying. Isaiah, it would be way better for you if I wasn't in Jerusalem, I was in heaven, and I gave you my spirit, so now I'm with you everywhere all the time. Wouldn't you agree that's better? Yeah, I would rather have Jesus in me and live through me than have him physically in Jerusalem somewhere. This is what he was trying to tell the disciples. It's better. A lot of you are like, if I could only live in the days when Jesus was on earth. How many of you have thought that? I have. Jesus goes, actually, no, you're better off now. You're better off with me in heaven and the Holy Spirit on earth because you have more than those who walked on earth, who walked with me on earth. You have more than the disciples had when they were walking with Jesus because now you have the Holy Spirit. And this is not according to me. This is not according to me. This is what Jesus is saying. I'm just trying to make it simple for you. So this is the Holy Spirit. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of his roles is he's the Spirit of truth. This is what Jesus said. I will send the Spirit of truth. He doesn't just speak truth. He is the truth. And people suppress the truth, the Bible says. The Romans 1:18, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The more the world sins, the more they suppress the truth. And this, what we're talking about tonight, is foolishness to those that are perishing. Many unbelievers, deliverance is fake, miracles are fake. It's all foolishness to them because they are in rebellion to God and they are under Satan's control and Satan's domain. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the god of this world. Revelation 12 verse 9 says the devil deceives the entire world. Deception is the devil's number one tool to keep people enslaved. Truth removes the ability to deceive and enslave people. That's why the Bible says the truth will set you free. Who's the truth? The Holy Spirit. He's literally the Spirit of truth. That's why scripture says the truth will make you free. That's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the truth. John 17:17 says your word is truth. 1 John 5:6 says the Holy Spirit is the truth. So the three elements of truth are Jesus, the scripture, and the Holy Spirit. These three are in agreement. And when you get these three connected, Jesus, the word, and the Holy Spirit, you arrive at pure and undefiled truth. So we have to ask three questions to test if something is truth. Does it represent Jesus? Is it in harmony with scripture? And does the Holy Spirit bear witness? If we can say yes, then we know it's truth. That's the definition of truth. Okay. He's also a teacher. Very, very important. In John 14:25 through 26, Jesus said, things I've spoken to you while being present, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name. Look at this. This is John 14:25 through 26. He will teach you all things and bring into remembrance all things I said to you. He's a teacher. He's a helper in anything you're going through that you need God's help. The Holy Spirit says, I can help you supernaturally. And he really elevates you from the natural realm. Let me give you an example. In the natural, if your family member has cancer, there's nothing you can do. Okay. You can do whatever you try to do. There's nothing you can do in the natural realm. But then what happens when you get the Holy Spirit? You transcend out of the natural realm. You're now in the spirit. And now guess what happens? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, that same family member that had cancer, you can lay hands on the sick and God can heal them through the power of the Holy Spirit. You've just transcended from being natural, from the natural realm. Like if you have a family member, something tragic happened, you grieve in the natural, there's nothing you can do. You're depressed, you're devastated. When you're in the supernatural, God can take that burden from you and elevate you. So we actually get elevated with the Holy Spirit. We transcend the natural barriers and the natural things that are happening. You might break your leg. And in the natural, the doctor says, that's going to take 2 months to heal. But no, we got the Holy Ghost. Now the Lord says, in the spirit, we're going to take that healing that should be in 2 months from now. We're going to bring it to the now. And you can get healed instantly of that broken leg. That's the supernatural. That's the X factor of the Holy Spirit. He breaks out your life from the natural. I'm not bound by the natural. I'm not limited. I'm spiritual. I worship God in spirit because God is spirit. That's why Jesus said those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth because God is spirit. So this is the Holy Spirit. He's transcendent and he's a teacher and he will teach you things and he will help you in ways you never thought possible. 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy never came by the will of man. The holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy never comes by us. It comes by the Holy Spirit. Now, the spirit of prophecy is subject to the prophet. So you can prophesy on demand according to the Bible. Paul says, prophesy one by one, take turns. Meaning it's not spontaneous. It's subject to the prophet. But it's through the Holy Spirit that we're moved when it comes to prophecy. Man, I got a lot more for you, but I don't want to go super, super crazy long, okay? John 16:12. Jesus said, there's more I want to tell you, but you can't comprehend it now. But when the spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Like I said, he gives you a supernatural lifestyle. He enlightens you. He makes you a partaker of his spirit and elevates you, okay? He gives spiritual gifts. We've done a lot of videos on this. 1 Corinthians 12, I'll name the 9 really quick and then you can go watch my videos. I have all 9 broken down, what they are, how to flow in them, how to ask for them. You should go watch my spiritual gift videos. They'll help you a lot with the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But the 9 gifts are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, gift of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning or distinguishing spirits, kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All 9 of those are from the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives you gifts. So he's the gift giver. He's also the one that helps us in prayer. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. When we don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us and guides us and leads us. For those that are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says in Romans, are the sons of God. So in order to be an effective Christian, you need to be born of the Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm not following my flesh. I'm following the Holy Spirit every single day. This will change your life. Write this down. I want you to wake up in the mornings and I want you to say, try this. This will change your life. And it's so simple. Some of you won't do what I'm about to say because it's too simple for you. You need gold dust, prophetic words, a conference, and to follow and to get slain in the Spirit to do anything spiritual. This is not going to help some of you because you're too spiritual. But for those of you that really want God to move in your life, I dare you every morning to just say, Holy Spirit, will you lead me today? Holy Spirit, will you guide me today? Holy Spirit, I want to do what you want me to do, God. Would you set up divine appointments? Holy Spirit, would you help me pray? Start doing that in the morning and you're going to see power. You're going to see breakthrough. You're going to see the Holy Spirit lead you. When you go into prayer, say, Holy Spirit, help me in prayer. Holy Spirit, show me what to pray. Don't be afraid to ask him. He will speak. Yeah, Naaman's like, if you would have done something, said something complicated, he would have done it, but he's telling you to dip 7 times and now you don't want to do it. We have to get back to the simple things and say, Holy Spirit, help me, lead me, guide me. Okay, that leads to my last thing and we're going to pray. And I'm going to do more streams on the Holy Spirit because I love him and he's misunderstood. He's not talked about. I had a Christian recently ask me, like, tell me about the Holy Spirit. What is he? I don't understand him. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of Christians that don't understand him, that don't know him. So we have to talk about him. Here's how you receive him. I'm going to keep it very, very simple. These are basic steps. First of all, number one, you have to repent. If you want to get him tonight, you have to repent. There's no way of getting around it. You must repent. Acts 2:38 says repent. Okay. Acts 17:30 says for times of ignorance, God overlooked, but now God commands all people everywhere to repent. So without repentance, you're not going to receive the Holy Spirit. You got to repent. God, I'm turning from my wicked ways. I'm turning from my own thoughts, my own desires, and I'm turning to you. Repentance is necessary. Don't let any demonic pastor lie to you. Oh, did I say that out loud? Don't let any false prophet lie to you. You have to repent. Number two, very important, okay, because we're about to pray. You have to ask God. You have to ask God for the Holy Spirit, okay? Luke 11:11, listen what it says. This is the words of Jesus. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or what if your son asks for a fish? Will you give him a snake? Or what if your son asks for an egg? Are you going to give him a scorpion? Okay, then this is what Jesus says. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is very simple. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you it. Now, for those of you that are like, what if I ask and I get demonic tongues? You're not going to. Because the principle is this, if I ask for something good, he's not going to give me something bad. So if you ask for godly tongues, he's not going to give you demonic tongues. Don't be afraid. You're not going to get the fake. What if I get a false Holy Spirit? No, you're not. Did you ask for a false Holy Spirit? Did you ask for a Kundalini Spirit? No. Okay, then you're not going to get it. All these people are like, that's the Kundalini Spirit. You are clueless about the Kundalini Spirit. First of all, the Kundalini Spirit comes through Kundalini yoga. It doesn't come from going to a charismatic church service. So stop following ignorant, religious, crusty pastors on YouTube that tell you, oh, if you speak in tongues, you're going to get a Kundalini Spirit. They don't know what they're talking about, and they have a worse spirit called the religious spirit, okay? You're not going to get the Kundalini Spirit. If you ask for the Kundalini Spirit, you might get it. But if you ask for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get a false Holy Spirit. That's not even biblical, because Jesus says, ask for something good, and I'm going to give you something good. Okay, so some of these guys, you just got to stop. If you follow somebody that for years has been talking about it but never walking in it, don't follow that person anymore. You got all these people that are intellectual scholars of the Bible that don't even live the Bible. They know it in Greek and Hebrew, but they don't live it in English. So no, we don't want to hear what you have to say. You're lying. The Holy Spirit is for now, it's for today, it's real, it's happening. Just because you don't speak in tongues doesn't mean we can't. All right, don't get mad at us that you don't believe the Bible. Number three is you need to be thirsty. You got to be thirsty. In fact, I'm thirsty right now. I'm thirsty right now. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I'm really thirsty. I hope that I get some water and I just sit around. That's what a lot of us do. I'm thirsty. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to grab this, shout out to Costco, water bottle, because I'm thirsty. I'm going to actually do something. I'm not just going to sit around like, oh, maybe God's just going to give me the Holy Spirit. No, I'm thirsty. I'm going to open the water bottle. And I'm going to drink. Like, I literally have to participate in that. Some of you, like, I'm thirsty and you're sitting there staring at the water and the Lord's like, drink. Drink. Watch what Jesus says. Let me prove it to you. John 7:37. Get ready to pray. On the last day, Jesus stood up in a loud voice, right? The heresy hunter people, they hate this. He's like, don't be loud, brother. Don't shout. Okay. Sorry, but Jesus shouted. If you didn't know, John 7:37. Jesus stood up in a loud voice and said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, scripture says, rivers of living water will flow within them. Verse 39, this is the important part. Look at this. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe were later going to receive. Up until that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus was not glorified. So Jesus goes, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. You got to be thirsty. If you're not thirsty tonight, you're going to get nothing. You're not going to get anything. But if you're thirsty, in a loud voice, chill out, bro. No, I'm not going to chill out. Some of you need the Holy Spirit. He says, come to me. And then he goes, oh, by the way, I love how it clarifies in verse 39. He goes, by this, Jesus meant the Holy Spirit. All right. He's not talking about physical water. It's like the woman at the well. He's like, I got water you know nothing about. She's like, well, if I drink your water, well, I never have to come back. He's like, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, lady. I'm not talking about actual water. I'm the water. I'm the living water. The Holy Spirit's the rivers of living water that's going to flow out of you. But you got to be thirsty and you got to drink. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit when I'm being thirsty. So number four is drink. That's John 7:37. This is simple. It's receiving something by the decision of your will with a physical act. You cannot be passive. Well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. That's not drinking. Drink means to actively receive within you. It means I'm participating in my miracle, in my receiving, all right? So that's what we're going to do. We are going to repent, number one. So right now, just go ahead and repent. I want you right now to say, Lord, I repent. Here's what repentance is. This is very simple. I'm wrong. Lord, you're right. I'm wrong about sin. I thought sin wasn't a big deal. I'm wrong. Lord, you're right. Sin is a big deal. I thought pornography, lust, partying, drinking, lying wasn't that big of a deal. I'm wrong. I repent. You're right. It is wrong. I'm not going to do it anymore. Repentance is a metanoia. It's a changing the way you think, getting rid of that stinking thinking and saying, I'm wrong. So when Peter said repent, what he was telling the religious people was, you killed Christ. You need to admit you're wrong. He is the Messiah. Put your faith in Jesus, who you just got done killing, and recognize he's the Messiah. That's what repentance is. So right now, I want you just to repent. Lord, I repent. And by the way, I do this every day. Like, oh, that's religion. Call it whatever you want. I repent every single day. Lord, help me. I'm thinking wrong. I'm acting wrong. I'm living wrong. I'm talking wrong. I repent, God, for saying that. I repent for doing that. I repent for looking there. Whatever you could be that you're dealing with, I repent. I do it every day. Some people don't believe in ongoing repentance. I do. I believe that we should repent when we sin. We should repent when we do wrong. Lord, help me change the way I think, okay? So now you've repented, you need to ask, just start asking for the Holy Spirit in your own words. Jesus, you said it in Luke 11, if I ask, you'll give me. Father, I'm praying tonight, give me the Holy Spirit. Come on, pray that right now. You can put your hands in the air. Father, I surrender, give me the Holy Spirit. God, I ask you tonight, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I'm so hungry, I'm so desperate, God. I'm so needy, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. And take a moment, let that river of living water bubble up in you. If you start feeling like tongues coming, you start feeling like something bubbling up, let it out. Just start speaking out in tongues. Lord, fill me. God, I pray right now, fill everybody in this broadcast with the Holy Spirit. God, I pray you would fill them with the Holy Spirit right now. Baptize them, God, in the Holy Spirit. Anoint them, Lord. You said to ask. Come on, right now, be thirsty and drink. Drink, participate. Lord, I need you. Lord, I'm hungry. Lord, I want to know you. God, fill me. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you in my marriage. I need you in my family. I need you in my life, Holy Spirit. Fill me right now. Ask him right now. Fill me. We need you. Holy Spirit, tell him this. I can't live without you. I can't, I won't, and I don't want to. If you can live without him, you will live without him. I cannot live without you. I need you to get up tomorrow. I need you to preach. I need you to be a good father. I need you to be a good husband. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need you. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Fill me up again. And you can be filled more than once. Ask him right now. Cry out for a filling. I wish I could do this for you. I want to do it for you. But you have to ask. He didn't say, ask on behalf of your followers, Isaiah. No, 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 no. You got to ask. Some of you say you're crying. That's great. Let it flow. Come on, get desperate. Holy Spirit, we need you. Indwell me, empower me. Pour out your gifts upon me. I need you, Holy Spirit. Fill me, God. Rivers of living water, tongues of fire. I pray tongues of fire would rest upon you right now. Come on, just pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost fill you right now. Rivers of living water, power of the Holy Spirit, anointing of the Holy Ghost, fire of the Holy Ghost. We pray flow right now. Baptize them, Lord. Just like in Acts 19, I pray, Lord, you would baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Come on, keep pressing. I don't care if this is till the stream's over, till Jared and Candace go into prayer and worship in like 20 minutes, and then they end after their hour of prayer and worship, and you're still praying and crying out. I don't care if you have to pray until 4 in the morning. Get hungry. Press. Push past the distraction. Get out of TikTok brain where it has to be in a minute, in a 2 minutes. Press into God. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Ghost. Pisa robobo katamando bosa. Yamba surubobo sotiaramando boku. Rivers of living water, I pray, flow. Fire of the Holy Ghost right now. I pray tongues as a fire. Lord, I pray you just rest upon each person right now. Come on, ask him right now. Holy Spirit, rest upon me. Spirit of truth. Spirit of wisdom and knowledge. God, forgive me. I repent, Father, for grieving you. Ask him to restore the conviction. God, bring the conviction back to my life. God, I've lost the conviction. God, bring the conviction back to my life. Bring the conviction back. I need you, Holy Spirit. I need that conviction. I need the hunger again. Come on, ask. Fight for the hunger again. Lord, let me hunger again. I'm tired of being hungry for social media. Lord, I want to be hungry for you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Holy Spirit, I want you. Invite him into your house right now. Holy Spirit, fill our house. Rest upon our house. Rest upon our marriages. Rest upon our families. Come and dwell with us, among us, in us. Holy Spirit, dwell with us. Holy Spirit, dwell in us. We need you now. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Come on, just a few minutes. Let's keep pressing. Stretch yourself. No more old wineskins. There's a new wineskin rising up. There's a remnant rising up. We're hungry. We're desperate. We're radical. We're on fire. I see people getting baptized in fire right now. I see people getting, Reinhard Bonk used to say, get baptized in the river of liquid lava, of liquid fire. John said, I come and baptize water. One comes greater whose sandals I'm unworthy to tie, that baptize in the Holy Spirit and fire. Baptize us in your Holy Spirit, Lord. And then on Pentecost, tongues as a fire rested upon them. Lord, we need your tongues of fire. Guys, this is going to be the only thing that satisfies you. I will not survive without the Holy Spirit. If you take away the Holy Spirit, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want this. I can't survive without it. I need the Holy Spirit. He's what keeps me going. Like, how do you keep doing this after so many years, the Holy Spirit? How are you have preaching after thousands of sermons, the Holy Spirit? I can't do anything. Trust me, don't ever look to Isaiah and be like, Isaiah's great. I am nothing. I can't give a speech. I can't preach. I can't talk. I can't do announcements without the Holy Spirit. I can't do anything. You talk so well. No, no, no. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit through me. I am not a good communicator. I'm not good at anything without the Holy Spirit. I lean on him to be everything that I am. And when I'm not what I should be, I ask him to help me. Lord, help me be a better husband. I'm lacking in so many areas. Help me to be a better father. I'm lacking some errors. Help me to be a better pastor and a better leader and a better Christian and a better... I need you, Lord, every day. I am not even close to arriving. I'm a beggar. I'm a beggar. And that's what God looks for. Blessed are the beggars. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Come on, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray someone would get that tongues would rest on them. Tongues of fire. Fresh anointing. Fresh gifts. Visions. Revelations. We're hungry, we're desperate, we're needy. Fill us tonight, Lord. Fill us tonight. In Jesus' mighty name. Baptize us in Jesus' mighty name. And I want you to continue to press in. I'm going to spend some time here talking with the chat. I have a few announcements to make. And then Jared and Candace in 15 minutes will be live on their channel with prayer and worship. So you can go back into it. I want to give you guys a chance to give. This is the bottom line. We need you guys' support, all right? The live streams, as the last, I would say, 6 months, they're not getting promoted on the YouTube algorithm. It's not just me. It's for everybody. Live streams are just low priority. It's the way that the online works. So there's still a lot of you in here. There's like 1,500, which is amazing. But we're not at the 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 a stream like we used to be. So we need people to step up. We need people to support in the ministry so we can keep doing this full time. The links to give are there. Tonight, I will spend a couple minutes reading everyone's donation that gives. So PayPal, Venmo, Cash App, they're on screen. Please sow where you grow. Don't dine and dash. If you were blessed tonight, sow into the ministry. That's the bottom line. We do these free. And if you can't afford to give, then don't. All right. But pray about partnering monthly with us. You can scan the QR code to go to isaiahsaliver.com/partner. And you'll get 70 sermons, 20% off the merch store. And you'll get invited to our Thursday at 1:30 p.m. prayer calls. So if you monthly partner, you get invited to our Thursday at 1:30 p.m. So please pray about that. Talk to your spouse. I promise you this is good ground. I promise I'm going to continue to preach unadulterated. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to preach the raw word of God. I'm going to keep talking about topics people are afraid to talk about. And we're going to see continual revival. We have a lot of exciting stuff coming for next year. I have a couple dates to give you guys that you'll be excited about. The first, as you guys give, and then I'm going to read the donations. So Venmo, PayPal, and Cash App, I'll read the donations on stream. Hang out with me for a couple minutes, and then I'll send you guys over to the prayer and worship stream. Do not log off. Unless you absolutely have to go to bed right now, stay with us tonight. Stay for Jared and Candace's stream. It's prayer, it's worship. If you're going to bed, keep the stream on in the background. Let the Holy Spirit saturate you tonight. Let the Holy Spirit... I'm hungry, guys. I want all that I can get. Okay? I've never been... 13 years later, I'm so excited during prayer. I'm never bored when I get in the Bible. God speaks fresh. So get involved, partner with us, sow into what we're doing, stay on the prayer streams. We spend a lot of time and energy and work to do these streams. Like I said, we take pride in the fact that all of our content is free. You can watch it on YouTube. If you can't afford, don't. But those of you that can afford, help other people that can't. Statistically, about 1% of our live viewers give. So that's just statistically. That's pretty crazy if you ask me. I think we can do better than that. So where you grow. All right. January 19th, I'll be at Lifesong Church in Stockton, California, and I will have my physical book with me. If you want to grab a copy from me for your friends or family, I'll be at Lifesong with the book. I know a lot of you have it. If you don't have it, came out this last week, please order it now. How to Cast Out Demons, everything you need to know about deliverance, 200 pages. I'm very proud of this book. I did 3 interviews today, an hour each. I did 3 hours of interviews about this book today. I'm fired up. I'm doing like 5 to 6 hours a week of interviews. I've been live today for over 4 hours. So I'm a little bit like, my eyeballs are a little bit burning, but I'm just led by the Holy Ghost. I'm running on the Holy Spirit here, okay? January 26th, I will be in Mesa, Arizona at Without Walls Church, okay? Mesa, Arizona, Without Walls. I have another date. Let me write this down. I have another date to give you guys. This is going to be... March 16th, let me write this down. March 16th, I will be in Georgia, Dawsonville, Georgia, North Georgia Revival, Christ Fellowship Church. I will be there Sunday morning and Sunday night. Those are 3 dates for you guys. That's all I have for you right now. Let me read some of these donations here. We're going to start with Cash App. Hopefully there's something to read. If not, then praise the Lord. We'll just keep going. Let me read some here. All right, let's see, Friday, these are old. All right, Miguel Perez, thank you so much, brother. Priscilla Faith, thank you so much, sister. Christian Organic on Cash App, thank you. Michael Morgan, thank you. Roland Nunes, thank you. And Ayana Cobb, thank you guys so much for the Cash App. All right, that's all the Cash App. Let's go to Venmo here. Thank you guys for partnering and giving. You guys are amazing. Okay, so I don't know about signing books yet. I am on the fence about whether I'm going to sign any or not. I haven't signed any yet, even for like friends and stuff. So I have to pray about it, all right? I have to talk to some friends about it and pray about it. I am like, how do I say this? I'm trying super hard to just not be this Christian celebrity and to not be quote-unquote, worshipped or become an idol. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with signing stuff, but I also feel like I just don't want to become like, oh, I got an autograph from Isaiah. I don't know. I have to pray about it. I'm wrestling with it. I don't know if I'm being false humble. Like, I don't know if it's false humility where I'm just trying to be too humble or I genuinely am convicted. So I need to pray about it more, talk to some people. So I don't know if I'll be doing a book signing. All right. Okay, let me read a couple more. So yeah, that's where that is. All right, we have three on Venmo tonight. Tanya, thank you so much. Aaron Baker, thank you so much. And Rebecca Tiffin, thank you so much. All right. Let me see if there's any more on Venmo. I think that's it for tonight. Let me check the PayPal. Let's see. Oh, wait, we have one more on Venmo. Come on, you can load. Donald Webb. Did I already say that? Oh, wait, we have a couple more. Landon Peterson, thank you so much on Venmo. Nancy Torres, thank you so much. Shawnel Webb, thank you so much. And then lastly, let's read the PayPal. Like I said, guys, and I'm not trying to be rude or anything like that. We had four on Cash App, five on Venmo, and let's see how many we have PayPal. So when I say 1%, I literally mean 1%. There's nine people that have partnered and donated to the stream tonight, and there's 1,400 of you still on. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, it is what it is. And I know times are hard for everybody. All right, we have a couple here on PayPal. Let me read these. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Ashley Tarps, thank you so much. Honda, Bethke, thank you. Brooke Heiner, thank you. Ann Armstrong, thank you. Parish Entertainment, wow, thank you so much for that generous donation. Francisco Ramos, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Aurora Flores, thank you so much. Thank you, guys. All right, appreciate you guys. What, Melissa said to sign mine? Yeah, so I don't know. I might not. Also, it's hard too because some of these places I'm doing multiple services and there's no way I can go out in the lobby for hours and sign, you know, $300 or whatever. So I don't know. There's logistics as well. If there's 2,000 people in a church and I'm signing, you know, $300, it's not possible to even make my flight at that point. So I don't know. We'll figure it out. What did Alyssa say that I'm rude about? What? What'd she say? Let me see. Where's Alyssa's comment at? Man, you guys comment fast. I don't even see hers, but everybody's saying... Is she saying I didn't sign hers? Listen, I'm not signing them, so... Alyssa, you're literally married to me. Are you really asking about a signature? You have my debit card. So, I mean, what do you really want a signature for? Let's see. Isaiah inherited books that are signed reveals that what I value to my kids. So one thing that I had young people coming to me like, will you sign my shirt? And I was like, I at first didn't want to, but then the Lord said, Isaiah, would you rather have them ask you to sign their shirt or going to a Lil Wayne concert or whatever these secular artists are and have them sign? So then I'm like, okay, yeah, it's okay too. But yeah, anyways, I don't know. Oh, I said you didn't even sign mine. I mean, are you serious? I'm just going to refrain any of the comments that are coming to my head right now. All right. That's so silly. I love it. Yeah. And also, like, I don't have the best handwriting. So am I supposed to, like, write a message? I have no clue. Am I supposed to be like, God bless you, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. We'll see about the book signing. I'm not sure yet. All right. Someone said, Jared getting less in trouble. The comments are coming too fast, so a lot of these I'm not even seeing. I'm just reading as many as I can here. Yes, Jared and Candace will be live in about 10 minutes after my stream, as usual. Oh, the video about the demon with glasses, that was a friend of mine's vision that he shared at another conference. He's serious? Wait, where am I missing? What am I missing? I'm trying to go up and find it. What is Alyssa saying here? Oh, Alyssa's just putting laughing faces. My handwriting looks like a doctor scribble. I mean, mine's pretty close. Just sign your initials. Yeah, I know. I could. I mean, I could sign my signature. It just looks like a chicken scratch. Oh, yeah. You can get the books on Amazon. If you want to get the book, please support us. How to Cast Out Demons. You can get it on Amazon right now. Pray over the books. Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, the ones that are getting shipped from Amazon, I can't pray over because they're getting shipped from an Amazon warehouse. But the ones that I'm going to be selling when I travel, of course. Yeah. Oh, my book interviews, they're all over the place. I had one with CBN FaithWire today. I had one with Charisma. I had one with Vlad today, which will be released soon. I've had a few with radio shows. I had one with Sean Bowles. I had another one. What else did I do? Another one with a television station called Glory TV. Next Tuesday, I'll be on the Jimmy Baker show, the Bob Dutko show, and another guy's Christian show. So yeah, it's a bunch of like Christian television shows and radio shows. So you just got to kind of find them as you can. Not ever, all of them are on YouTube, but some of them are. My mom said I'll sign my own with a signature. Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. Stocking stuffers. I love that, Tanya. You guys are amazing. All right. So let's see. Thank you for putting my Emily. You're such a great mod. Diane, all of you guys, all the mods, you guys are all amazing. I cannot say it enough. All the mods are amazing. I love you guys. And listen, I want to say this. I'm sad when I see people leave the streams. Like they're here for a year or two and they're in the chat and they disappear. It makes me sad. I see the names. I miss you guys. I'm on this thing for hours a week, right? Like sometimes 5, 6, 7 hours a week I'm live. And so I miss you guys when you leave. So don't leave. Be a part. I love you guys. Even though it's just kind of through a screen, I do love you guys. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm excited to hang out in eternity with you if I can't do it here on earth. But if you do want to hang out with me, learn to play pickleball, because then we could for sure hang out. All right, that's probably the only chance you're going to have to hang out with me. Amen. Jared knows if he wants to hang out with me, he has to play pickleball with me. Okay. Yeah, any books I have that are physical, I'll pray over for sure. Thank you so much, Christina Frankel. Thank you. I appreciate you guys' support. Thank you. Nate, I understand, bro. Don't worry. You don't have to apologize. Even if that little conviction hit you, Nate, you don't have to apologize, bro. You're here right now. That's all that matters. Jesus said, worry about today, for tomorrow has enough worries in itself. Amen. Preach. First live. Welcome, Crystal. Thanks for being here. Rewind, because we're at the end. In 5 minutes, we're going here. What happened yesterday? You got whooped, bro. Come on. Don't even start, bro. Don't even try to poke the bear. In 5 minutes, we're going to Jared's stream. You're lucky I put that link, Jared, before you started trying to talk smack. Bro, I'm literally bringing people to your stream in a moment, so I'd be careful, bro, how much you poke the bear here. Jared, you're going to show up to your stream and be like, where'd everybody go? What happened, Isaiah? Did you not redirect them? Oh, the book in Spanish, I'm talking to them right now about it. So I'm reaching out and figuring that out. Yes, I've been to Bakersfield. Let's see. Jared, you got awfully quiet, bro. You got awfully quiet. Where are you at? Jared's not afraid. He's like, oh, yeah, you're all talk. Listen, all I have to say, Jared, is you have nothing to brag about, bro. If there's anyone that can brag, he can show up on the stream and brag, but you have no room to brag, brother. You don't want me to go live and play pickleball against you. And, you know, we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that to all the people. Why don't you stamp your signature on your books? That's kind of a cool idea. But that doesn't feel authentic. All right. Jared. Oh, man. I don't know who David Bernard is, but I'll check it out. Maybe. Bible memorization tips? Yes. Get this app. Amazing app. Can't recommend it enough. It's called Verses. Let me find it. It looks like this. Well, I don't know how to show you. Let me go to the app store and see if I can show you. This app is amazing. They haven't updated, which is sad, and it kind of freezes. But we tried making a community, and we froze the whole app. So this is the app that you want to get. Let me make sure I'm not leaking anything. Okay, I'm not. This is the app you want. Verses. This app is amazing. Get that app, Bible memory, and that's going to help you out big time. All right. Okay, yeah, in a couple minutes, they're going to be live. My mom says, stop it, be kind to Jared. He's precious. He's trying to stir up the hornet's nest, Mom. He's trying to poke the bear. Some said maybe equals probably not. Well, I was like, yeah, I'll check it out, but honestly, likely I probably won't, to be honest. When I get off here, I'm going to go put the kids to bed, probably try to eat with them really fast, and I'm probably not going to look up a debate right now. Thank you, Brina, Beauty Brina. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. Would fun to see you play pickleball live. I'm down. You don't have to ask me twice. You say pickleball, I say yes. You can literally call me at 4 a.m. and be like, let's go play pickleball, and I will say yes. And I'm not even kidding about that. Jared said, I love your mom. My mom saved you, bro. Play golf. I used to play golf for 6 months, and then I got bored. Jared still golfs a little bit. He tries to. I'm doing good, thank you. Time for a new hobby? Nope. I'm still fully hooked on pickleball. All right. When are you coming to Fort Worth, Texas? I'm not sure. Eventually. All right. They're gonna be live in like a minute. So I'll send you guys there once they're live. If you're on Facebook, there's the link. Yeah, I think the app is Apple only. I love you all. Tomorrow night, I live in Central California. Tomorrow night, I will be Zoom Deliverance Live. Pray for me. I haven't done this in a long time. I hope it goes good. I think it will, but we're going to do it. So who knows? Who cares? We're going to do it either way. It's going to be great. The Lord's going to move. If you're ready to get delivered, jump on tomorrow and try to get in so I can pray for you one-on-one, but we'll see what happens. All right. Thank you guys for all the links, for the support, or thank you, mods, for posting the links. I'm trying to read all the comments. I don't have any dates other than the ones I gave you. When you coming here, when you coming here, I don't have any dates for you. Sorry to say. Verse Locker. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. The one Vlad uses is good, too. I just like this one way better because it has, like, little, like, memory games, and it just has a lot of activities that help you memorize. Tomorrow, 6 o'clock Pacific time. 6 o'clock Pacific. And Jared, you guys can go live at any time. 6 o'clock. Jared looks like he'd play golf with a hockey stick. Oh, man. Shots fired. Jared's actually really good at golf. He is really good at golf. I'm terrible. Shots fired. The best place to partner is my website. YouTube takes 30%, so I would recommend partnering on the website. But either one, you get the same amount of like the benefits of the prayer call and the, you know, sermons and all that. The Zoom link will go up tomorrow, and then I'll let a few people in, and then I'm going to pray for them. So it's just going to be like live. It is what it is. All right, they're live. I love you guys so much. I appreciate you guys. Go to their stream now. I'll post it there. There it is. There's the link to go. We're going to go worship and pray with Jared and Candace. Love you guys. I'll see you tomorrow night. God bless. Love you all. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.